Bottom of the hour, you're listening to TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us in studio via text 1290. Send us your message. Standard messaging rates do apply. And of course, our website has got the latest NHL and Winnipeg Jets news. That's IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We head out to Las Vegas, where we're joined by Mike Cranston. Mike is the Vegas Golden Knights correspondent for NHL.com. Mike, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for joining us in what I'm sure is the midst of a busy few days for you.
Yeah, there are a few things going on here, but happy to be on with you guys. Hope you're all well.
Well, yes, Mike, we are. Thank you. You know, obviously, you know, you got the roster freeze at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You have 2 o'clock Central Time, I should say, 12 noon there in Vegas. You have the draft itself, the formal draft coming up, or the announcement of the players coming up on Wednesday. You know, is there a feeling sort of that we're reaching a bit of a fever pitch in Vegas? You know, obviously the first game will be the true fever pitch, but are we really ramping up the energy surrounding the Golden Knights with all the happenings this week?
Yeah, there's been a good amount of excitement here in the last week or so. The team has held a lot of events in the local area over the last few days. Gerard Gallant has been all over the place talking to fans and reporters and the like. And the fact that the NHL Awards is here in Vegas, and that's when they will announce the expansion draft. It's going to be an interesting night for sure. It's still obviously a market that's not that up on hockey for the most part, but I think there's certainly a lot of excitement right now, especially the fact that this is obviously the first major pro sports team in this city.
Mike, we're going to hear about the protected list tomorrow, and then we're going to find out about the trades that happen on Wednesday later in the week. Is it safe to say that by the time this is all said and done, Vegas is going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 players?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that one of the things that George McPhee is trying to balance is to have a team in the first season that is competitive, but also not bogged down with big contracts and guys that are too old in the future. So one of the things that he really wants to do, and we've seen some of that with a report out of Columbus, that they could have a deal for the first round pick for the Blue Jackets, that they really would like to acquire as many first round picks as they can get both this year and next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they would have four first round picks by the time Friday's NHL draft starts. At the same time, they would also like to get some in the future. As you guys know, they need to get to the salary cap floor, which I guess will be around $45 million. So they're going to take on some bad contracts just to do that. But one of the things that I think is going to be, the roster that we see picked on Wednesday or announced on Wednesday will be changed around quite quickly, where there'll be some future deals after that. And I think, we could see a turnover of 10, 11 guys from the 30 they select.
Mike, after both the expansion draft and the entry draft, what are the plans for players to come to Las Vegas to see the new environment? Is the team having a prospect development camp after the entry draft?
They are. June 27th it starts. Their practice facility will not be ready yet, so it'll be at another rink here in the city. But they will have a development camp June 27th to July 1st. And then, of course, free agency starts after that. So their practice facility, they hope, is going to be done by the middle of August, which would mean it would be ready for the start of training camp. But my understanding as well is that they're going to try to fly in many of the players that they select in the expansion draft to be available to the media on Thursday and possibly Friday. So they're going to try to get some of these guys in town. You know, especially if they do indeed select Marc-Andre Fleury, I think they would like to get him into town quickly, as he would likely be the face of this franchise in the first season.
Mike Cranston is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mike is the Vegas Golden Knights correspondent for NHL.com. That was where I was going to go with that question, sort of the face of the franchise idea. It's your expectation, clearly, that Marc-Andre Fleury will be drafted or likely to be drafted by the Golden Knights, and you'd expect him to be their goalie and not one of the candidates to be flipped for another asset?
one of the things I do believe they will select him, and one of the things that I haven't got a firm answer on this, been trying to find out, but when he waived his no movement clause, I believe it was only to be selected by Vegas. So I think he would have to approve any kind of trade that would happen after that and could decline that. I know that, you know, that he certainly took a liking to Las Vegas when he was a younger guy, and his wife likes the area as well. So I think if I had to predict, I think that he'll be on the team next year and be the number one goaltender, you know, unless that they can convince him in some kind of deal that to go somewhere else. But I do not believe that he waived everything. It was just that would be allowed to be in the expansion draft, from what I understand.
Mike, starting on Sunday, Vegas has a 72-hour window to negotiate with free agents, which include RFAs and UFAs. Are we going to find out who those players are before Wednesday, or are we going to have to wait until Wednesday?
In terms of who they're negotiating with?
Or if they sign any of those UFAs or RFAs as well?
I believe they're going to have to wait until Wednesday. The league is trying to make this a big event for TV on Wednesday during the NHL Awards. If they sign a UFA or an RFA, that'll count as the player taken from the team that it's currently on. So, I think that's also going to be another maybe trick that George McPhee can use if he doesn't want to take a player, let's say, you know, who you're going to take from Colorado or somebody like that, that you can take select an unrestricted free agent and then not even negotiate with him and just would count as a player. It's almost like you're passing on that team. But from what I understand, I'm sure, you know, I have a hard time believing that all this is going to be kept under wraps, especially when, agents and players are involved in this as well. But they are going to try to not announce any of that until Wednesday night.
So, Mike, you talked about the TV aspect of that Wednesday night drama, if you will, and it leads me into my question, which is about the TV, local TV. And I saw you tweeting about it, how you asked the Golden Knights president about having a local deal in place. And as of right now, I don't believe there is one. So how important is that to get done, so locals in Vegas and surrounding areas, I guess, would have access to watching the team on the television?
Yeah, they made an interesting move in their television deal. They signed a contract with what was then Roots Sports, Rocky Mountain. They're changing their name to AT&T Sportsnet because AT&T bought DirecTV, which usually previously owned Root. The issue is that Root, at that station, that channel is not available on local cable, the two local cable providers in Las Vegas right now. Now, the reason that the team wanted to do that is they have a footprint. They have an exclusive market counting Wyoming, Montana, parts of Utah, et cetera. So that's the area that Root Rocky Mountain covers. However, that's not available in Las Vegas right now. And, we've seen this happen in other sports. I was covering the NBA in Charlotte a decade ago when the NBA returned there after the Hornets initially moved and nobody could watch the games the first season. And it was a nightmare. And, of course, people who follow baseball situation in Los Angeles right now where most people in L.A. can't watch the Dodgers. So, none of these things usually go smoothly. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're – a couple of days before the start of the NHL season, and we're still waiting for a deal with Cox, the main provider of cable here in Las Vegas. So it was an interesting move, but if they do get that deal in place, they'll have, the ability to show their games throughout the Rocky Mountains, which is what owner Bill Foley wanted.
Mike Cranston is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mike covers the Vegas Golden Knights for NHL.com. Mike, you wrote about this earlier in the week. Gerard Gallant, he's the head coach of the Golden Knights, yet he's not going to be overwhelmingly involved with the actual expansion draft. Does that, and the selection of the individual players, does that surprise you that he's not going to maybe have a larger voice at the table when George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon try and decide on who's going to fill out the roster?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that. And, he seemed to be at ease with that. He said that they would certainly consult him about players that he's coached. So I'm sure, who they select from Florida, he'll have an input in that. But he seemed to be fine with it. He's been coaching in the NHL, so obviously he knows most of these guys, even if he hasn't coached them. But, you know, he seems to be content. In fact, he's going to be doing a lot of media appearances here over the next 3 or 4 days while McPhee and his staff are putting together their selection. So it does appear that that's is going to be the case, that he's not going to have a real big impact. He seemed to be fine with that. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, he might be bluffing a little bit on that. He'll be in the war room when they're making their selections and all that, but he will not be, you know, he'll not be have real input and certainly be a decision maker when they select these 30 players.
Now, Mike, just getting away from hockey for a second, can you confirm whether or not Gary Lawless was at the Electric Daisy Carnival, which is taking place in Vegas this week?
You know, I saw him the other day, and that's all he was talking about. You know, in fact, we don't know where he is right now. You know, it's a 24-hour town here, so we just hope that he might get some sleep here before he has to go to work later today.
Mike, you know, you talked about it a little bit earlier in the interview about the fan reaction and the schedule of events. How much more is planned by Vegas up until this expansion draft takes place on Wednesday? And, you know, again, just touching on the general kind of buzz in the town about the team and whatnot, if you could let our listeners know about that.
Yeah, they're starting Monday. They open the team store, which is at T-Mobile Arena. So they have an event there scheduled for a Monday afternoon to announce that. On Tuesday, league-wide, they're announcing the new uniforms from Adidas as they're switching from Reebok, and that's going to be announced at one of the casinos here. The team will then have an event at the Welcome to Las Vegas sign later on Tuesday night to unveil their jerseys and look at that. And then, of course, Wednesday, there's fan activities leading up to the start of the NHL Awards show, which is at T-Mobile Arena, where they're going to announce the expansion team. And then there's going to be they have a Q&A scheduled after that with fans that'll include McPhee and the owner, Bill Foley, and I believe Gallant as well. And then they're going to start to bring in some of the players that they selected, hopefully on Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, the following week is when they'll have their development camp. So they're doing a lot of things almost every day. And, you know, there's a lot going on in addition to the draft with the uniforms. That's obviously a big deal here as well to see what the sweaters are actually going to look like home and away.
Mike Cranston covers the Vegas Golden Knights for NHL.com. Mike, you're aware it's customary for the NHL.com correspondent to buy drinks for all the media when they come into town for the NHL Awards.
I'll just let everybody know that the high next Wednesday is supposed to be 116, so you will not need a jacket.
So the ice is going to melt really quickly, is what you're saying. The ice in the drinks, at least.
Yeah.
In the drinks, indeed, yeah.
Mike, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for doing this, and I'm sure we'll touch base with you throughout the summer as the Vegas Golden Knights become more and more of a reality.
Mike, we'll see you by the Bellagio pool.
Yeah, you don't want to see me around any pool, but you'll see me maybe with a drink.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
When we come back, we look at the expansion draft from the perspective of the teams in the Pacific Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
The Ducks have not asked Kevin Bieksa to waive his no-move clause to expose them for the Vegas expansion draft, but according to Bob McKenzie, it's believed Anaheim has a prearranged deal with the Golden Knights, so they did not need to ask Bieksa to waive.
That clip from our friends at TSN, as, of course, the Anaheim Ducks, they're another one of those teams trying to figure out their plans for the upcoming expansion draft, likely to go with an 8-1 model, but we'll talk about that coming up momentarily. Right now, this segment of the show, it's brought to you by Bell Acres Golf and Country Club, official golf course, easy for me to say, of Illegal Curve Hockey. Bell Acres offers an 18-hole championship golf course that golfers of all levels can enjoy. For more information or to book a tee time today, visit bellacres.com. Right now, send a text to 129090. The text should say Bell Acres, B-E-L ACRES. We're going to give away a couple passes to go hit the links at Bell Acres Golf and Country Club. Again, text Bell Acres to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. We'll pick a winner and announce that winner coming up momentarily. Bell Acres to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. Anaheim Ducks, they supposedly have a deal set out so that they do not lose one of their key young defensemen. Kevin Bieksa is sort of putting a crimp into the plans of the Ducks, but by as we heard in that clip, it sounds like they're going to be able to protect Josh Manson, Cam Fowler, Sammy Vatanen, and Hampus Lindholm. Or pardon me, Sammy Vatanen is expected to be traded. A lot of moving pieces with the Anaheim Ducks as they enter into the upcoming expansion draft.
Yeah, and the Ducks are lucky that they don't have to protect Brandon Montour, and they're lucky they don't have to protect Shea Theodore.
Yeah.
The Ducks are stacked on defense. We know that, and that's one of the reasons why they're going to most likely trade Sammy Vatanen, right, Drew? So, I mean, you're going to go 8-1.
You have to.
And we're going to see most teams, I think, go 7-3-1, guys.
The majority of teams, I think, are going to go 7-3-1, yes.
And so when you're talking about the Ducks, I mean, they obviously have a lot of talented forwards as well, but you can probably afford to lose Sammy Vatanen more knowing that you have guys like Brandon Montour and Shea Theodore coming up through the system, right? Dave, they were really good with the San Diego Gulls, and they were very good in the playoffs for the Ducks as well. So, I think, again, you know, Kevin Bieksa waiving his no-move clause is expected. Or sorry, it's not necessary because they're not going to have to protect.
They have
him.
A deal set. They have a prearranged right. deal in place where, you know, they're obviously the Ducks are going to give up an additional asset to prevent the Golden Knights from going after one of the young defensemen they'd rather not lose, or one of the young forwards they'd rather not lose.
Yeah, and that's the point of this, right? I mean, you're giving up some player that you don't have in the system and you haven't put time and effort and money into for someone that is a known commodity to you. So to me, it's a no-brainer for a team like Anaheim when you have that kind of depth and you don't want to lose it and you don't want it to be exposed, that you make a deal. And at that point, you know, McPhee has a bit of a gun to your head and says, okay, well, you know, he can kind of name his price. And that, to be honest with you guys, is the most interesting thing about all of this. Once all that information comes out, is what are the prices guys are willing to pay? Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, you never know what other GMs are doing. Maybe some GMs are talking just to find out what the price is, right? Because they could say, oh, what does McPhee want from your guy? Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's gamesmanship. And you wonder how much of what is going on behind the scenes. So to me, just getting a little glimpse of that, we're not obviously going to get a full picture, but a little glimpse of that is going to be the most interesting thing about it.
It's going to be fascinating. Moving on to the Calgary Flames in the Pacific Division, they're likely to lose one of Troy Brouwer, Matt Stajan, or defenseman Brett Kulak. Troy Brouwer, of course, very familiar with Vegas Golden Knights general manager George McPhee. They were together with the Washington Capitals a number of years ago. You know, Brouwer is still under contract for another 3 seasons at $4.5 million per year. But he would be, if the Vegas Golden Knights need a veteran forward, I think Troy Brouwer would be a good candidate, or maybe a candidate to then be flipped by George McPhee after the expansion draft.
Who are the Flames protecting as their goalie?
Well, it doesn't really matter because they don't have a goaltender.
You have to protect.
I know you have to protect one goalie, so you know
you have to expose a goalie.
No, you have to be able to expose one. That's the whole point.
They don't have any goalies signed.
Well, yeah, they do. They have Tom McCollum.
Who's that?
Exactly. I mean, he's nobody. So that's who the Flames are going to protect in that realm.
But they still
if that guy actually is a goalie.
He supposedly exists.
But as of right now, they don't. Like, they have to have something because they have nobody to expose.
Tom McCollum is the goalie that they're going to protect. And then they will expose Chad Johnson and Brian Elliott. They won't be taken because they're both UFAs on July 1st. But Tom McCollum will be the goaltender they protect. And Johnson and Elliott will be the goaltenders that they expose to Vegas.
Yeah, and if they end up losing a guy like Troy Brouwer, I mean, you can afford to lose a guy like that, right? You're not losing your core pieces. We know who those core pieces are. Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk obviously is exempt from the expansion draft, but you're talking about Michael Backlund, you're talking about Michael Frolik, right? Mm-hmm. So these types of players, Sam Bennett is also exempt from the expansion draft, right? So when you're talking about Troy Brouwer, he's a bottom six forward. And again, Brett Kulak, again, depth defenseman. So the Calgary Flames, I think, as far as the expansion draft, aren't going to be affected as much as maybe a team like the Ducks or the Wild, Drew. But again, you need a goaltender there.
For those curious, like we were, Tom McCollum's career stats, 2010-11, Detroit, one game played, 2014-15, Detroit, two games played.
So he's a
he's with the Charlotte Checkers right now in the AHL.
So he's a minor league goaltender.
And in fact, now that I think about it, I remember him playing against the Moose this season, and he was wearing a Flames helmet, if I recall correctly. And I thought that was unusual because he was playing for Charlotte. But if I recall correctly, yeah, I think he's on loan with Charlotte, even though he's Flames property.
In any event, I don't think you're going to hear the name Tom McCollum bandied about much more than you just heard him mentioned the last three times on this show. I don't think there's going to be a big segment coming up on Tom McCollum's future. Moving to Edmonton, where, of course, Jordan Eberle supposedly still on the trade market. He's going to be protected in the expansion draft. I don't think there's any question about that, but we know that the Oilers would like to get out from underneath that contract. Oilers likely to lose one of Benoit Pouliot, although they might have to sweeten the pot a little bit for Vegas to take him and take that bad contract, or Griffin Reinhart or a young defenseman like Tyler Pitlick from the Oilers roster.
But again, Drew, for the Edmonton Oilers, the expansion draft isn't going to hurt them a lot because you don't have to protect Connor McDavid. You don't have to protect Leon Draisaitl. You don't have to protect Darnell Nurse. Mm-hmm. You don't have to protect Matt Benning. So,
or Drake Caggiula.
Right, Drake Caggiula, former UND standout, right? So when you're talking about a Benoit Pouliot, again, I mean, with the talent the Oilers have on their roster, Benoit Pouliot is not someone who you're really going to miss, right? Same thing goes for Tyler Pitlick, a good young defenseman. But again, if that's who your choice is to lose, that's fine, right? We know that Adam Larson, Oscar Klefbom, Andre Sekera, those are the defensemen that they're going to protect, right? So again, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, so you lose Benoit Pouliot, big deal.
I misspoke. Pitlick, of course, a winger, not a defenseman. I had somebody else on my mind at
that
moment.
Well, his dad was a defenseman.
That's right. I was getting confused there. You know, it happens, and we get, you know, a little bit into the old age like I am here on the program. Los Angeles Kings, they're a team that would love Vegas to take one of their burdensome contracts, i.e. Dustin Brown, i.e. Marian Gaborik. But unless the Kings absolutely blow the Golden Knights away with, you know, multiple draft picks to do so, it seems like they're going to be saddled with those contracts. In exchange, they're likely to lose a younger player, you know, maybe a Braden McNabb on the back end, or a Nick Dowd up front, or a Nick Shore up front for the Kings. Kings, again, they're so top heavy with, you know, with Doughty and Martinez and Muzzin, and then Kopitar and Toffoli and Pearson, the guys they're going to lose aren't what I would describe as deal breakers, because they don't really have any of that. You know, a guy like Nick Dowd, a guy like Nick Shore haven't really done anything at the NHL level to be that concerned about it.
Yeah, again, you lose a Braden McNabb, even though he played a little bit with Drew Doughty last year. You can afford to lose him. We know the big three are Alec Martinez, Drew Doughty, and Jake Muzzin, as you mentioned, Drew. So, yeah, you hope that Vegas takes Dustin Brown's contract or Marian Gaborik's contract. Who knows if they will. But, again, the expansion draft, it seems like this division, the Pacific division, is way better suited for the expansion draft. And obviously, you know, the Central Division has been the stronger division for many years, producing, you know, a lot of cup winners and cup finalists. But as far as the LA Kings concerned, you know, you lose a guy like you know, McNabb or one of your younger forwards, as you mentioned, I don't think you're going to be that upset.
No, the only team in the Pacific that's really got a dilemma on their hands is the Anaheim Ducks, and they seem like they've solved that dilemma to some degree by prearranging a trade with the Golden Knights. We won't know the specifics of that trade likely until Wednesday, if not sooner.
You know, just quickly, I know we got to go to break here, but when you're talking about the San Jose Sharks, same thing, right? Like, you're going to probably use a guy like a Brendan Dillon, and Brendan Dillon would most likely be a top four defenseman for the Vegas Golden Knights. I actually really like Brendan Dillon's game. Maybe Paul Martin is obviously an option too. But when you're talking about those types of players, I mean, that isn't going to affect the core of the team.
No. Or if they choose to go with one of their forwards, it's likely either Mikhail Bodker or Joel Ward are left unprotected.
Yeah, Joel Ward's probably going to be exposed, which is, you know, unfortunate. But again, because of his age and his contract, you want them to take that contract most likely.
Mm-hmm. Or Bodker, who was a big free agent signing last year and struggled in his first season in San Jose.
I think they'd miss Ward, especially around playoff time more.
He's, you know, one of those veteran presence, that kind of thing. When we come back, we're going to talk about the OHL draft eligible prospects. Grant McCagg is the president of recruits.ca. Talk to him next about OHL prospects. Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show coming up next on TSN 1290.
On the Curve, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Yeah.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mundell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text at 1290. Standard messaging rates do apply. And, of course, our website, it's got the latest Winnipeg Jets news. That's illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the program Grant McCagg. Grant is the president of recruits.ca. He joins us now to discuss the OHL draft eligible prospects. Grant, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Very well, Grant. Thanks again for joining us. Good morning in Winnipeg. Good afternoon where you are. You're in the Ottawa region, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, you are correct. We're both correct.
Yeah.
Grant, obviously brought you on to talk about the NHL draft. It's upcoming. Next Friday is the first round. OHL draft eligible prospects start with Gabe Vilardi, expected to be the top pick coming out of the OHL. He's projected to go somewhere in the top 10, maybe even as high as the top 5. In your draft guide, you have him ranked 8th overall. The big knock on him is his skating. How big of a concern is that for you?
Well, it's quite noticeable, at this point. So, I mean, you know, you can always project and hope that these guys improve their skating enough that it's not an issue at the NHL level. But, I mean, the skating it's only better as each level you go up, you know, the better skating, obviously, than at the junior level. So, you know, there's got to be some concern there. Certainly on the back check and an open ice, you really notice it. And it's why I and a lot of NHL scouts wonder whether he will play center at the NHL level. And when you compare him to some other guys like Glass and even Rasmussen, at the end of the day, they're pretty close, I think, when you tally up all of the different traits that they bring. But you give the nod to the potential centerman because there's more value there, so I've got a mate, but it's certainly, 5 to 8 is a pick 'em type thing. You can have any one of those guys there. I think at 6, he probably gets a lot of, I've heard that Vegas is pretty high on him. So wouldn't surprise me if he ended up going 6th overall all to Vegas. If Vancouver, as I'm expecting, takes Glass at 5.
Grant, you have Robert Thomas, center for the London Knights, ranked 9th in your draft guide, ahead of Nick Suzuki and Owen Tippett. Why are you so high on Robert Thomas?
Well, he played, he played on a stacked London team, and by the playoffs was arguably their top centerman ahead of Clip Pew. Played in all situations. Like, Dale Hunter loves him, and I don't know that I respect any CHL coach more than Dale Hunter. He's got a prospect factory going on there in London. This kid's maybe a year away from the NHL. I think he can step into the league next year. He's just so smart already, so responsible both ways. You know that at the very least he's going to be a awesome third line center for your team. That he's one of the safer picks in this draft. But he had a point a game despite having to work his way into getting power play time and offensive time. I mean, at the start of the season he wasn't getting that because a stacked lineup of a lot of vet high picks, and he just. Was so, he impressed Hunter so much that he ended up being like his go-to guy, a power play guy on the last minute, protecting a one goal lead, penalty killing, taking key face-offs, really good skater, excellent stick handler, great vision, didn't score a pile of goals. So I guess that's why, Bob McKenzie's going to be releasing his list on Monday, and I guess his list was leaked, and I got to look at it. And I'll just give you this one name, but Thomas was ranked 21st, from the scouts that he polls each year. So obviously, I've got him a little higher than the than a lot of scouts do, but there are the ones that I deal with on a regular basis, they all, none of them argued with me having him top 10. In fact, some of them like him there. So that gives you an idea of just how varied the team lists are this year, and that there are guys that are going to be ranked around 10 on some teams' lists that may not be in the top 20 of others.
Grant, Nick Suzuki of the Owen Sound Attack is ranked 10th on your list. What are his greatest strengths as a player, and is size going to scare any teams off?
Well, I mean, he's 183 pounds at 5'11", so it's not like he's a skinny kid. He's a strong, strong kid. He's just so smart, and it's not the type of guy, you know, that, I mean, I don't know that I saw him get knocked down last season, so he's maybe the smartest, you know, most aware kid in the draft, just super, super smart, competitive, good at both ends. I think he can play center, too. I mean, there's certainly that is a possibility down the road because he's just such a smart, smart hockey player. I mean, his point totals were amazing. He close to 100 points and was the main catalyst on an Owen, other than the goalie, that on an Owen Sound team that came darn close to making it to the Western Finals in a stacked, you know, stacked conference. He's got excellent skill, great, made some of the nicest plays of the season. Like, I mean, if you get a highlight reel of Suzuki, he makes some awesome dishes and scored some nice goals too. He's just an opportunist, great anticipation, one of those sneaky, crafty guys, you know, that is just going to always put up points, I think, no matter what level he's playing at, and will help you win games. So there's a lot to like about this kid. He may end up being, you know, as productive as anybody else in the draft. So I think 10, I mean, you look at, you know, everyone was so high on Casey Mittelstadt, and at the end of the day, when he got measured, I mean, people thought he was almost 6'1". Well, he's 5'11 and a half. Nick Suzuki's a half inch shorter, so... I mean, if you're going to quibble over, you know, a half inch, I think is ridiculous. It's he's in the same size, you know, same with Owen Tippett. Thought he was taller than he was. Well, he's 6 foot and a half. So, I mean, he's, you know, barely over an inch taller than Suzuki. So, I mean, if you're going to drop a guy because of a half inch or an inch in height, I don't agree with that outlook, especially if he's got decent size like Suzuki. He's already 183, so he's a solid kid. I really like him.
Grant McHagg is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're discussing the draft-eligible prospects to come out of the Ontario Hockey League. Grant is the president of recruits.ca. You can get his 2017 NHL draft guide on recruits.ca. It's a great read. We have a copy of it. Some great insight
I bought it.
Into the players that are going to be drafted in Chicago coming up next Friday and Saturday. Grant, Owen Tippett of the Mississauga Steelheads was certainly a prolific goal scorer in the OHL. He had 44 goals during the regular season. He added 19 points in 20 games in the OHL playoffs. Widely considered to have one of the best shots in the draft, if not the best shot. Do you think that his goal scoring abilities will translate to the next level?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that you can be sure of, that he's still, you know, he's going to score some goals at the NHL level. So that's why he's a, you know, consensus top 12 guy, I think, on most lists. I probably have him a little lower than the majority of lists, but unfortunately there's, you know, parts of his game that are concerning, just in terms of his competitiveness, defensive play, selfishness. He has a tendency not to look to his pass the puck to his teammates when, you know, that's the play to make. I mean, puck travels faster than the player. So, I mean, you can get away with it to a certain degree at the OHL level, but the NHL, he's going to, you know, there's some habits that are really, that coaches aren't going to like and that will probably take some time to break. So, I think he'll be able to score 25 to 30 goals on a good, you know, in a good season at the NHL level, but other guys that are, you know, that I have listed ahead of them in the draft are also going to be able to do that, I think, while bringing other facets to their game. Maybe they get five less goals, but they could end up with 10 more points at the end of the day and be better all-around players. So, I mean, you know, teams, some team will take him maybe top 10 because they say, well, we need a goal scorer. And he, like you say, he's probably got the best shot in the draft. And that will, you know, you get him hooked up with the right playmaking center on a team. And certainly on the power play alone, he'll probably get you 10, 15 goals. So there's always going to be, you know, a value for that. And which is why, you know, wouldn't shock me that he ends up going ahead of Thomas in the top 10 of the draft. But it's not about where you think they're going to go. You rank them where you think they'll end up having, who will have the best NHL career. And I'd rather have the all-round center that definitely could get as many points as Tippett, I think, and Thomas. So that's why he ended up being the fourth among those top four OHL forwards for me.
Grant, this week you tweeted that Morgan Frost of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds is the most underrated prospect in the upcoming draft. Why do you feel he is underrated?
Well, I know a few high-ranking scouts that think he's a top 20 guy, and there's a lot of lists, majority of lists, and even Bob's. Okay, well, I'll give you a little bit of a he's outside of Bob's top 30 for, I won't say exactly where, but, and again, that's with, you know, pulling a few NHL scouts. So he, as far as I'm concerned, all but one of the four scouts that I rely on for a lot of input for my draft think that he's got top two upside for sure. And at the very least is a top 25 pick, but could be a top 20 pick. So there's another guy. For some reason, there's, you know, him and Thomas, I believe, are being underrated. And it seems to be the case every year where there's a – Konechny was another good example where had him top 11 or whatever, and he ended up dropping on draft day for whatever reasons. And I think that he's proved that that was probably not a good idea because he should have been a top 15 pick in his draft year. Hopefully I'm right about these guys as well.
Grant, defenseman Connor Timmins, Frost's teammate with the Sioux, is considered to be one of the most improved players in the draft. Does he project as a top four NHL defenseman in your opinion?
Sorry, did you say Timmins?
Yeah.
Connor Timmins.
Connor,
yeah.
Timmins.
Yeah, sorry. The only slight issue might be with his skating a bit, but one of the smartest defensemen in the draft, one of the most poised, one of the best playmaking defensemen. He's solid defensively, too, just because he's so smart. His positioning is great, and I think he's a number four defenseman for sure down the road as long as the skating comes a little bit, but I don't consider it a big issue. I would think very much so. I mean, I've got him top 20, so as a rule, you know, you got a kid in the top 20, you think that he's got either top six or top four upside, depending on the position. And that's the case with Timmins. I believe that he'll play on a power play down the road, and I think he may also be able to kill penalties for a team, so that certainly makes him a top four prospect.
Grant, Jason Robertson, left winger for the Kingston Frontenacs. He went from 31 points in his first season in the OHL to 81 points in his second season, including 42 goals. Do you think Jason Robertson should be a first rounder?
Yeah, he had an incredible season. He was like Kingston's best forward by far, and it's his draft eligible year. He accounted for 24% of Kingston's goals this season, which I don't recall the last time a prospect in his draft eligible year had that, you know, that percentage of a team's goals. I did some digging there, and Crosby, who obviously was by far the best player on Rimouski in his draft year, had less than 20% of his team's goals. Robertson had 24. Connor McDavid had 13% of Erie's goals in his draft year. So, I think he was first star 13 times this season and had seven or more shots on 13 occasions as well. He can take over games at times, and that's with skating that still needs to come. But all of the scouts that I talk to think that it's just a matter of him getting stronger as far as his skating goes. He's the stride is such an important factor in trying to project the player's upside as far as skating goes. It's one of the reasons why there's still a bit of concern with Vilardi, because his stride isn't great. But Robertson's got a pretty decent stride. It's just 30 seconds into shift, he starts, the butt's sticking out and the legs are straight. He's, he's out of steam. He doesn't have any strength left in his legs. And that's why he's slow at the end of shifts and stuff. I believe that he's a hardworking kid off the ice. He's going to put the work in. He's already 6'2", 195, so the size is there. He gets stronger, bigger. He has great options with the puck. He's not just a shooter, even though I believe he might be the second-best shooter in the draft. But good puck protection skills, and when he's got the puck, the guys, the defenders don't know whether he's shooting or passing, and so he's got lots of options when he's got the puck, and I think that's going to really translate well to the NHL down the road.
Grant McCagg is the president of recruits.ca. He joined us to discuss OHL draft eligible prospects. Grant, appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next week in Chicago.
Thank you.
Take care, Grant. Thanks again. Before we go to break, big congratulations out to Ian Strachan. He's the winner of the Bell Acres Golf and Country Club passes. So Ian's going to be teeing it up at Bell Acres coming up this summer. Stay tuned for the upcoming further draws, courtesy of our friends at Bell Acres. When we come back, we continue our expansion draft preview. We shift our focus to the Eastern Conference and talk about the Atlantic Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Be honest with you, it's part of the business, and we've had some discussions, and that's obviously been public knowledge, but it's part of the business, and that's part of being in this business. Those are conversations that we'll keep the details between Ottawa and my agents and myself, but it's just part of the business.
Ottawa Senators defenseman Dion Phaneuf. It's just part of the business. After being asked to waive his no-move clause from the Senators, he declined the request to do that. He just has a modified no-trade clause. So he is potentially available to be dealt up until today in the 2 p.m. trade roster freeze. So possibly Dion Phaneuf on the move today from the Ottawa Senators. That would allow them to protect Cody Ceci and Mark Mathot. They have a defensive logjam, as you will, when it comes to the expansion draft. Welcome back to the program. This segment is brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team, have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com. Check out their new showroom, 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them Illegal Curve sent you. I was there earlier this week picking up our new softball team jerseys. What a fantastic operation they have going on there at Keener Jerseys. If you're in the area, just pop on in. They have a beautiful display of jerseys up on the walls, some great jerseys that they've made for rec teams. Some, you got some, old NHL jerseys that they've done work on, and some random ones for your rec team. That just, the craftsmanship that Keener Jerseys puts into their work is simply fantastic. Check it out. Keener Jerseys, 982 Portage Avenue, keenerjerseys.com online.
Yeah, they had a nice PK Subban Nashville Predators jersey up in the store earlier this week. I'm sure they're getting a lot of orders for Subban jerseys after Nashville's run to the Stanley Cup final.
A lot of people are going to have to change their jerseys around with the expansion draft and everything, so I think the folks at Keener Jerseys are going to be extremely busy all summer long. Let's talk about the expansion draft. We mentioned the Ottawa Senators and Dion Phaneuf not waiving his no-move clause, so do you expect that he'll be traded before 2 o'clock today? I mean, Dion Phaneuf has sort of had a resurgence in Ottawa compared to Toronto. you know, probably not his fault for how things went in Toronto. There was just bad vibes surrounding that team. He was a key member of the Ottawa Senators playoff run this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be traded, Drew, but that means that you have to expose Mark Methot then, right? And so then you're taking a gamble that maybe Vegas doesn't take him. Maybe you're going to have to offer something up in order for Vegas not to take him. Mark Methot is the second most important defenseman on this team after Erik Karlsson. And you mentioned Cody Ceci. I think Cody Ceci has improved big time since he was drafted into the NHL. And I think his first year in the NHL, he struggled a little bit, but I think he's emerged as a bona fide top four defenseman. So I think you protect Karlsson, Phaneuf, and Ceci. And as far as the forwards go, I mean, we obviously know which forwards the Ottawa Senators are going to protect. Brassard, Stone, Kyle Turris, J.G. Paggio was great in the playoffs. Bobby Ryan is an interesting one because he has a bad contract. But I do think the Ottawa Senators will still protect him. I don't know if he has a no-move clause.
He doesn't.
But Bobby Ryan, I think, has earned himself a spot on this team with the way he played in the playoffs because he wasn't good during the regular season.
So you don't think that
he also had? We should mention. I mean, he had a tough off the ice season, but
his mom passed away, I believe, if not mistaken. You don't think that with his $7.25 million cap hit, the Senators will leave him? You don't think that his price tag is too expensive for Vegas to take on?
Oh, you're saying maybe they expose him knowing that Vegas won't take him.
That's what I'm saying. They use that slot on a different forward who...
I still think they protect him.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll know by tomorrow morning. How about that? Moving on to the Boston Bruins, they're likely to go with a 7-3-1 format as well, leaving protected either Matt Beleski or Jimmy Hayes. Their defense is where they're going to have issues. Either Kevin Miller, Adam McQuaid, or Colin Miller, one of those three... is going to be protected, likely Kevin Miller, I think, but that's going to leave one of Colin Miller or McQuaid available. I think Beleski and Hayes had such bad seasons for the Bruins that the Bruins would love to lose one of those two guys.
Well, that Jimmy Hayes trade was terrible for Boston, let's be honest, with Florida, right?
Yeah.
They gave up Riley Smith. So when you're talking about Adam McQuaid, he won a cup with Boston back in 2011. He's a big, solid defensive defenseman, but I think you can afford to lose him, especially when you have a guy like Charlie McAvoy in the system, right? He played a little bit towards the end of the year in the playoffs. So I think you can afford to lose Adam McQuaid. And as you mentioned, Drew, you're talking about Matt Beleski and Jimmy Hayes. I mean, these aren't core pieces for the Bruins, so you can afford to lose those guys.
Exactly right. Dave, we'll move on to the Detroit Red Wings. They're likely to go also with a 7-3-1 format. And the question comes down to players of Xavier Ouellette versus Nick Jensen. They're going to protect one of them. The other one is likely to be the candidate picked by the Golden Knights in the expansion draft. Not what I would call as, you know, significant losses to the Detroit Red Wings, a team that has struggled, you know, missed the playoffs for the first time in, whatever, 55,000 years this past season.
Yeah, and you also got to remember this is a team that now has a AHL tie, a Calder Trophy in the trophy case after Grand Rapids Griffins won over Syracuse this past.
Eric Tangrady,
former Jet, Dylan McElrath, some Winnipeg connections. So, you know, I think that it's not a huge deal because they have some really nice pieces. Grand Rapids was a very good hockey team in the AHL this season. We saw them that game actually just before Eric Comrie got called up to the play for the Jets. And if he wouldn't have been fantastic, the Moose probably would have lost that game handily, but instead he turned it away. So Grand Rapids has a number of nice pieces in the system. So I think Detroit will be able to pick up anybody that they
lose. Question I have for you is Peter Mrazek or Jimmy Howard, which one would you protect of those two? Mrazek, obviously, you know, younger of the two, 25 years old. He's an RFA.
Yeah, I'll stop you right there. It's Mrazek, I think. And, you know, he's only under contract for 1 year, as you just alluded to, Drew. And Jimmy Howard's making $5.2 million. And Jimmy Howard, at 33 years old, his game has just declined too much. So I think you protect Mrazek.
When he was healthy this year, he was very good. I mean, Mrazek had some struggles this season. That's the only sort of thought process that would change your mind a little bit.
Sure, no, and it's worth mentioning, Drew, absolutely, but I think at 8 years younger and a more favorable cap hit, I think they do protect Mrazek. And for me, Detroit isn't one of those teams that is going to be affected that much by the expansion draft. And you know, going team by team, division by division, what have we seen today? It's the deeper teams that are really going to be affected by the expansion draft. And that seems obvious. But when you're talking about a team like the Detroit Red Wings, some of their younger players don't have to be protected, right? So a guy like Dylan Larkin does not have to be protected. Anthony Mantha does not have to be protected. So if you lose a guy like Xavier Ouellette, sure, he's a good young defenseman, but you know he isn't a core piece. I'm going to be more interested to see what Detroit does at the NHL draft and what they do in free agency, because they need to get an upgrade on defense. They're still searching for a number one defenseman. And aside from Mike Green and aside from Nicholas Cronwall and Danny DeKeyser, you just don't have a lot there as far as good defensemen.
The Florida Panthers are an interesting team. Elliot Friedman earlier today reports that Jonathan Marchessault, who was terrific for the Panthers this year, cheap, inexpensive contract, one of the best contracts in the NHL, word is he might be potentially available in a trade due to protection issues in a 7-3-1 format. And the Panthers are likely to lose. The expectation is one of Mark Pisick or Jason Demers. They're going to have to protect one of those two, and the one that they don't protect seems to be a candidate to be selected by the Vegas Golden Knights. Expectation is also that Roberto Luongo is going to be left unprotected, and James Reimer will be the goaltender that the Panthers choose to protect over Luongo with the longer and bigger contract in terms of average annual value.
Yeah, it's not ideal that you have to expose Luongo, but as you said, Drew, James Reimer is under contract long-term, and he's younger, right? So I don't think Vegas takes Roberto Luongo, by the way.
I don't think so. I think they take one big-ticket goaltender.
If they take Marc-Andre Fleury, they're not taking Roberto Luongo.
And that's what I was saying. That's why I think a lot of these teams that have goaltenders aren't going to have, even a Jimmy Howard, look at his contract.
And what's the point, Dave, in selecting Roberto Luongo when you know that Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be your number one goaltender, plus you're going to have a very good backup goaltender? I think all of the other goaltenders that you select after those first two or three goaltenders, Drew, are just trading chips.
Yeah. That's exactly
what
they
Luongo being in Vegas with his Twitter abilities would be fun, even if it was only brief.
When we head to break, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Joe Smith of Tampa Bay Times, talking about the big trade earlier this week between the Lightning and the Canadiens, Drouin for Sergachev. Joe Smith joins us to talk about that trade from the Lightning perspective and their expansion draft plans. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Twenty-five minutes before the top of the hour, Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message. Send a text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news, that's IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Tampa Bay Times, we're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Joe Smith. Joe, good morning, and thanks very much for doing this.
No problem. How you doing?
Doing very well, Joe. Obviously brought you on to talk about the big news in Lightning world. That is the acquisition of Mikhail Sergachev from the Montreal Canadiens in exchange for Jonathan Drouin. He heads back to Montreal. Did Steve Yzerman get enough in the trade for Drouin in Sergachev? Is that enough of a return for a player of Drouin's caliber?
Well, I think, to be fair, this trade won't be judged until maybe 5 or 6 years from now. I think if Sergachev turns into the guy that they think he can be, which is a top-pairing caliber defenseman for 5 or 7 years, then I think they could be an equal deal. But it all depends on the kid's potential, and he goes from a prospect to an actual player. So I think that's going to be the main difference in if this would be a fair trade or not.
Joe, why didn't Steve Yzerman want to lock up Jonathan Drouin long-term? And do you believe that the expectation is for Mikhail Sergachev to play a full season in Tampa next year?
Well, I think I think there was definitely a thought maybe of keeping him long-term. But if you look at the contract he just signed with Montreal, $33 million over 6 years, that would have been a hard cap number to pay for the next number of years you get to pay Stamkos and Hedman and Kucherov steals up and two more, and you still have to sign Johnson and Palat. So I think you make some tough decisions cap-wise. You can't keep all your forwards. And if Jonathan Drouin's the guy who can get you that best possible return in that top-tier defenseman, then that's what they had to do. It made some tough decisions there. That 5.5 annual cap hit would be the fourth on the team behind Stamkos, Hedman, and Callahan, so even more than Kucherov. As for Sergachev, I think they're going to give him every chance to make the lineup on opening night. They think he's strong enough to play in the NHL, but the key is determining if he'll be able to play enough minutes or earn enough minutes to make it worth his while, as opposed to for his development, giving him one more year in junior. But they definitely feel that he's going to be there's going to be an opportunity to play the season in Tampa for sure.
Joe, what area of improvement do you think the Lightning need to spend the most on, as opposed to, or is it just simply a matter of staying healthy?
Well, I think staying healthy is a big part of it. If you have Steven Stamkos for more than 18 games last year, I think there's a good chance they make the playoffs. But I think overall, I don't think they're done yet looking for more help defensively. Sergachev is a really good start, and he could impact the team next year, but they could find some guys that are available through the expansion draft or through the glut of defense that other teams have they need to get rid of. So I think they're still going to look to improve themselves defensively, and they lost a couple players up front. They need to make some changes up there potentially, and whether you want to add some more grit, you want to add some more scoring punch in the wing to complement the guys they already have up there. They're not done yet this summer as far as making some improvements to this team.
Joe Smith is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Joe covers the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Tampa Bay Times. How much, in acquiring Sergachev, they get a player they don't have to protect and is exempt from the expansion draft. How much of that was a factor in Yzerman's decision in that they acquired, rather than acquiring a guy who is maybe a second-year pro or a third-year pro that they would then have to protect, Sergachev being, exempt, how important was that to Steve Yzerman?
It was part of the consideration, but it wasn't the main consideration. I think it definitely helped to have a guy you didn't have to expose. That way you could make sure to keep another defenseman, whether it's Jake Dotchin or Braden Coburn, as that third D man they're going to protect at their list, which is due at 5 p.m. today. But I think also is beneficial, especially he's on his entry-level contract right now, which means he'll be relatively cheap for the next several years. So I think that's a big bonus as well with the cap situation Lightning have going forward. But overall, I think the big picture thing is they wanted to find a defenseman with the caliber of the Sergachev, who could be the size, the skill, the puck mover. He fits their style really well, and the main reason for that trade was to get a guy like that. Those guys are very difficult to acquire and very expensive, as you know, in the open market.
Joe, it's expected the Tampa Bay Lightning will protect 7 forwards. So because of that, do you expect the Lightning to lose a forward or a defenseman in the expansion draft, whether that's a guy like JT Brown or someone else?
I would think that they might lose a defenseman in the expansion draft. I think Vegas is going to load up on D-men in their draft and then be able to try to flip them to other teams that might need them going forward. I think if the Lightning protects Hedman and Strawman and then Jake Dotchin, you still have a guy like Coburn, you have Cuckoo and Garrison, a number of different guys that would be available to Vegas they can look to. And remember, they have to fill their salary cap quota, too. They have to hit their number. They can't just get a lot of young guys on entry-level contracts and draft picks. They need to get some veteran guys, too, with experience. That might be a attractive thing for Vegas.
Joe, do you see Tampa Bay making a move before today's roster fees at 3 p.m. Eastern, or do you think that they'll wait until Sunday when they've seen the list and then start trying to make something happen?
That's hard to say. I think they're monitoring all the situations right now, and they have a couple hours left until that roster freeze to see what other teams are available, how they have available defensively. You look at the Wild trying to make some moves with their guys like Dumba, and you have the Islanders maybe moving a guy like DeHaan or Hamonic. So it's kind of like a waiting game. A lot of different teams are interested as well as the Lightning, and then they also have the option, as you mentioned too, of waiting until tomorrow the list come out and then working with Vegas, see if they maybe get a better deal with them, give them some futures for a chance to help themselves now. So hard to say, hard to handicap if they'll do that by 3 o'clock today, but I think they're definitely looking at it.
We're joined by Joe Smith of the Tampa Bay Times on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show discussing the Lightning acquisition of Mikhail Sergachev in exchange for Jonathan Drouin, as well as their upcoming NHL expansion draft and roster decisions as we approach free agency as well.
Joe, we know that Andrei Vasilevskiy is the number one goaltender in Tampa Bay now. Do you expect Peter Budaj to come back as the backup next year?
I think that's the hope. That's their number one choice, I think, if they have the option of bringing Peter Budaj back. He's an unrestricted free agent, so he might have other options on July 1st. But he told me he loved it in Tampa. It was a great fit. He fits that role perfectly because he's been a backup before. He knows he's comfortable with it. He's very capable of winning games, as he showed last year, both as a starter with L.A. and a backup with the Lightning. And he worked really, really well with Vasilevskiy in the last 2 months of the season. So I think the Lightning would be their first priority to sign him. I'm not sure what else the market is out there for him or if somebody else can offer more. But they also have other options, too, on the market as far as free agents go. They'll probably be a veteran guy, though. And they love to have Budaj back, I believe that.
Joe, something tells me the Syracuse Crunch would be happy if they never saw the Grand Rapids Griffins in the AHL Finals twice now, losing to them in the Finals. But you know, it was a testament to the 2012-13 team, I believe, that, you know, a number of those guys are now making an impact with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I guess the question I have is, what sort of impact is the current group with Syracuse expected to have on this team in the coming years?
Well, they had a really big impact this past year with all the injuries. You guys like Johnny Gord and Adam Purdy came up, and Joel Verbeen and Jake Dodson played a huge role in the top pairing. So I think next year, it depends on who they can sign. I think there's a lot of guys on that roster, whether it's Kuku, Yanni Gord is UFA. I think they'll have to bring him back. Ernie's a guy who will be part of their future. So there'll be a few guys I think they'll have a chance to make the team out of camp in September. So, and I think, as you mentioned, that 0-12 team, you got the Johnson and Pilots and the Talorns, having that kind of winning culture and have the experience of going that far in the playoffs in the AHL definitely served them well in the NHL going forward. So it can only help the guys that are returning to the Crunch or the Lightning next year.
Joe, we'll let you go on this last question. We know that the two big free agents, and these are restricted free agents, not unrestricted free agents, that the Lightning have to deal with this summer. That's Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat. You know, how do you are negotiations underway, and is it a difficult negotiation with a guy like Johnson, who only 3 years ago was a 70-point guy and then has dropped down to 38 points and 45 points the last couple of years respectively? How do they, you know, come to terms on a deal with Tyler Johnson, given the disparity in his numbers?
Well, they have had negotiations with both players already. Nothing is imminent, I don't think, at this point. But both of them, I'm sure, would want to have long-term deals if they had their bridge deals. They just came off of a three-year, $10 million deal that they both signed at the same time a few years back. As for Johnson, I mean, obviously he's been banged up a lot, and that's been holding him back as far as the production goes. He's had some up-and-down years, but they do see a really high ability in him going. He's very clutch in the playoffs and in the big moments. So I'm not sure what the annual value will be for him or how long the contract will be. But I think I think John Cooper and Hartman, as well as anybody, knows how good Johnson and Pilat are, and have watched them develop in their own organization. So they have Arbright, so that'll be the decision. Probably will help tip the scales, have more leverage at that particular point to see what these numbers are. But I think they're both going to be trying to be signed at some point this summer.
Joe Smith covers the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Tampa Bay Times. Joe, appreciate your insight and your analysis. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Have a great weekend.
Likewise, Joe. Take care. Thanks very much. When we come back, one final segment. We continue our look at the expansion draft with a preview of the Metropolitan Division. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
One final segment this Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors is final night in town. The only Canadian to ever win the Seattle Comedy Competition, Damon Tritter, is in town. Two shows tonight, 7:15 and 10 p.m. And remember, next week, a very unique event at Rumors, the first annual Roast Battle 2017. You'll have two comedians on stage roasting each other, going back and forth with some jokes and some comments and a real interesting event that's happening at Rumors all next week, June 21st through 24th. A couple of our friends are going to be in it.
Yes, our very good friend Benji Rothman versus our very good friend Keener.
Keener from Keener Jerseys versus, yes, Benji Rothman, a good buddy of ours. So everything's coming together where you got a guy from Keener Jerseys on stage at Rumors. So, you know, all of our sponsors are going to be coming together. No word if they're going to be eating Illegal Curve sandwiches while they're doing the competition, while at the same time doing some real estate transactions with our friends at Frank and Mauro Zappia, and getting their teeth cleaned from Linden Market Dental Center, and golfing at Bell Acres.
Yeah, looking forward to that, even though we're going to be in Chicago for the draft. But, I mean, Keener versus Benji Rothman, I mean, that's a... it's a very even battle right there.
Some breaking news coming down the pipe just mere minutes ago via Elliot Friedman. Elliot tweets that word is, and I'm going to quote here, word is Tobias Enstrom has done Winnipeg a huge favor has agreed to waive his no-move clause to help the Jets with the expansion draft. So again, Elliot Friedman reporting that Tobias Enstrom has agreed to waive his no-move clause. In that case, the Jets can go with a 7-3-1 format, getting to protect all those extra forwards. They will leave exposed Toby Enstrom. They will also leave exposed, likely, I would assume, Marco Dano and Sean Mathias.
Yep.
So the Jets are likely to lose one of those three players. If the Golden Knights decide they want a veteran defenseman, then they can take Toby Enstrom. If they decide they want to go with the young forward, it's likely to be Marco Dano.
Yep.
But the months and months and months and months and months of conversation about Perreault versus Lowry seem to be a moot topic, as it appears as though the Jets are going to be able to protect seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goalie, with the report from Elliot Friedman that Tobias Enstrom has waived his no-move clause.
And what we don't know from that report is if Toby Enstrom waived his no-move clause to go to another team.
Sure. We don't know that. I wouldn't expect there'd be much of a trade market for Toby Enstrom.
I think there'd be a few teams that might want to, you know, acquire Toby Enstrom.
I don't know. His play and his price tag are not you know, are he's overpaid compared to the
player. I'm just saying. I mean, it's not out of the question that the Jets may trade him to another team.
Not completely out of the question. That's fine. There is a possibility. But I would expect that this is a big... this is a big deal for the Jets.
It makes Chevy's job a lot easier, for sure.
Sure, it makes you know.
Because then he can go, as you said, with the 7-3-1 option.
Yeah, and it's fairly clear who your seven forwards are for the Winnipeg Jets at that point in time. Obviously, Scheifele, Wheeler, and Little.
I think the big one, Drew, is between Andrew Kopp and Marco Dano. Originally, I thought the Jets would protect Marco Dano. Now it looks like they're going to protect Andrew Kopp.
Right, it seems like Kopp is now ahead of Marco Dano on the depth chart, or whatever you want to call it. And, of course, Andrew Kopp being a center, I think that's a little more appealing than Marco Dano, yep. who's played primarily on the wing,
and now
of
they don't lose Adam Lowry or Matthew Perreault.
That's correct. So it's big for the Jets in that the guys they really didn't want to lose, and those guys are clearly Lowry, Armia, Perreault. The fear was that they'd have to lose one of those guys. If this report is correct, it looks like they're going to lose one of Dano, maybe one of the other AHL veterans, but that would be very surprising if Vegas would all of a sudden take a guy like Scott Kosmachuk or a JC Lapon in that instance. So again, one more time, Tobias Enstrom reportedly has waived his no-move clause, allowing the Jets to expose him in the upcoming NHL expansion draft.
Yeah, and if Vegas does take him, guys, I mean, that frees up a lot of cash for Kevin Cheveldayoff to go out and acquire another left-side defenseman.
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Like, they don't have a choice, because as we talked about and touched on earlier.
Hours ago.
Yeah, it's going to leave a void. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can say what you want about Tobias Enstrom, and it's obviously his offensive game has decreased from what it was. But he's still an important piece of the puzzle for the Jets.
We still don't know if Vegas takes him, because there might be another deal in place between McPhee and the Jets in order for him to not take Enstrom.
There could be another deal in place. You're absolutely right. I don't think the Jets want to lose Toby Enstrom.
No, I think so
because the hole that, I mean, and sure, his play has dropped off. But the hole that it leaves on their left side, where they already have one hole they need to fill, it's very difficult to fill one hole in free agency or via trade, never mind having to fill two holes. I think, and yes, his contract, he's expensive, but you don't need to free up that cash really until next season, and that's when he's off the books. So I think the Jets in an ideal world will leave him exposed, clearly, and they will hopefully, I think they would much rather lose, maybe not much rather, but I think they'd be more accepting to lose Marco Dano than Toby Enstrom.
No, absolutely. Marco Dano is more replaceable when you have Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor in the system. I mean, Marco Dano wasn't able to crack the top nine for the Jets, and he wasn't able to perform at a consistent level. So you would obviously rather lose Marco Dano than Toby Enstrom. But now, because he has waived his no-move clause, there is that possibility.
Yeah, exactly. So we will see how that plays itself out. We will know more, of course, tomorrow morning. That's when the list will be formally unveiled,
yep.
And all the teams who protect and unprotect will
be made
public. It's
going to be Christmas in June, Drew.
It will be a busy morning, I think. A lot of all the mock expansion drafts that people have been doing will get to be a little more crystallized, because you'll actually know the roster of players that are available to the Golden Knights when they make the announcement come Wednesday evening.
Dave and I haven't been doing any mock drafts. We've actually just been mocking you.
Yes, but that's really standard operating procedure on this program. Yeah. It's been going on for years now.
And you mock us back.
It's a
big mock fest.
It's a real big mock fest. Yeah. Exactly right, along those lines. Again, want to make note that next week, next Friday, Ezzy, you and Hustler down in Chicago with the NHL draft. Dave, you'll be there as well, doing great work for the station and for IllegalCurve.com. So you can get all your latest draft news next Friday. First round, Saturday, rounds 2 through 7 as well. And then the following Saturday, that's Canada Day, Free Agency Frenzy will be with you starting at 10 a.m. all the way up until 2 p.m. as we bring you the latest trades and moves and everything else that come with the free agency world in the NHL. So it's a very busy next couple of weeks here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and in the world of hockey. Big thank you to everybody who joined us on today's program. Joe Smith of the Tampa Bay Times. We had Michael Trakos of Post Media. We had Grant McHagg, the president of Recruits.ca, to talk about prospects. Mike Cranston of the Vegas Golden Knights correspondent. And Craig Button, TSN director of scouting. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on your Apple and or Android device. Subscribe, get it sent to you each and every week. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Keener Jerseys, and Bell Acres Golf and Country Club. Support them because they support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big props to producer Rory, doing a great job behind the board. For Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Toronto Blue Jays baseball on TSN 1290.